So would you introduce yourself, please?
My name is Emma, and my band is Emmy the Great.
Ah, okay, so you see, we've already covered something band, quote. So many people don't write you up as a band, they write you up as a, you know, a singer-songwriter.
I am a singer-songwriter, and it is a solo project, but the people who play with me for various tours get really so involved, and it feels a bit wrong to be at South by Southwest and say I, because I'm here with a really great musician called Michael Evans. Michael is a girl, and, you know, she's with me most of the time. We're playing shows as a duo, and it feels silly at this point to be like, I.
So we know 2006, Hong Kong, you know, remember Tower Records, there were free demos, the internet changed your life.
I don't think, right? It's possible to tell your unified story. It's just not. So, I mean, even when you're not writing a bio, say I was telling you what happened yesterday, to simplify it, I would only tell you five things, you know. I'd be like, first I went here, then I went here, I think I met this person, and then we went to this. And maybe I met the person before I did the second thing, but in my head now that's concrete. And that's always, if I remember yesterday, how I'm going to remember it. And I always think bios are like that. I couldn't possibly tell you the whole story of how it all happened. I just couldn't.
How do your publicists survive?
I write a lot of the press releases.
Good for you.
Because it takes absolutely ages. I mean, for this SEP that's just come out, I started working on the bio after we finished mixing it like a year ago. And I just was thinking, like, what's important? Like, yes, I went to this studio, then I went to this studio, but what's the most important thing to talk about? Because I'm not going to bore the people trying to find out about the EP with every single flight I took and every single decision I made and the songs that didn't make it. It's like, what's the core of what I'm trying to say right now?
When you were just starting to write and make music, what was, it's kind of like a weird question, but what was your vision? Did you, like, when you're looking back now on what you've done since, and when you were starting out, are you on the trajectory you want to be on?
I
do you not think about it at all?
I think about everything all the time. I hit my personal goal, like, when I was 24, it was a very small personal goal.
Okay, now you know. We've already shared a secret here. You now have to tell me, what was that personal goal?
When I was 18, I went to Glastonbury for the first time, and I walked past this stage called the New Band Stage, and I was like, I'm going to play that stage one day. It's now called the John Peel Stage, and we played it for the first time when I was 24. And I remember thinking, like, I should have set higher personal goals. Because since then, I've just been so... I mean, every time I play a show, I'm just so happy. Yesterday, we played this party, and it was raining, and people were there at the party, and I was just like, people came to see me play. That's just crazy. So, I mean, I am on the trajectory that I want to be on, but at the same time, I think I don't really think that the trajectory that you're on is ever the wrong trajectory, if you know what I mean.
I do.
I do think that you look back on your life and the things that you thought were mistakes will turn out to be the things that brought you to the next place, if you can roll with them.
Okay, so let's go to some of the things that everybody wants to know. Producer, mixer, all of that. I'll do it in the announcer voice. The new record, Emmy the Great. So, the sound. No, I'm not going to do that. But when you decided to make this record, what were the things that you thought about that were going to make it the next level of what you've been doing? Or did you just say this is a continuum of what I've been doing so far?
Well, it was like starting from a blank sheet, which is weird because songwriting came very naturally to me, and my second album came very naturally, and a lot of the stuff since then has happened very quickly. But this happened after a period of touring and doing stuff on the side, like soundtracks, where I came back to making my own music, and I was like, the world is so different. Like, my phone is so different, you know, like everything. I'm so different. I've been so many places. Who am I? How do I make music? I always compare it to that scene in Zoolander where he looks, I think he's looking in a river and he goes, who am I? No. I had to do that. And it wasn't reinvention. It was actually like going into the nugget of myself and figuring out like what's the more essential part of me now. As someone who's like been through a little bit more of life than the last time I made an album. And the last time I made an album, for myself, I thought, I'm never going to go through as much life as I've just been through. And it turned out there was more. There was more to come.
You know, there usually is. Yeah. But one of the things that, and again, this has been in several things, but I kind of want to talk about it. You know, this is not the, so how do you approach songwriting question? Because But more about that you wrote the songs in several places, and then there's the one thing that I know you talked about, that you actually wrote a song while somebody was actually talking to you and transposed that into a song. How literal were you with what they were saying as it became the song, or did you go back and then put it into the mold?
He was talking to me and I was doing an internal eye roll and the song just sort of came out of that internal eye.
Can you get that at a sushi restaurant? The internal eye roll? I like that.
They should definitely make that.
I'm going to ask for that. I'm going to go back to San Francisco. I want the eternal eye roll, please.
Eternal, yeah, but the eternal eye roll, I can't even... That's probably Salmon Roe, right?
Yeah, probably, but that's fantastic.
Can I tell you what happened to me yesterday?
Of course you can.
I ate a snail. I went to a restaurant. Michael was like, I want to get snails. You probably won't eat them. And I was like, I'll eat a snail.
With shell?
No, like, it's boiled or something.
So never had that. What does it taste like?
Chicago, I can't tell you. I ate it for like 1 second. Then I remembered what a snail looks like.
Yeah.
I spat it out without her looking, and I hid it under a lime. Oh. And I like kept it a secret for the whole dinner.
Snails are cute.
They're so cute. They didn't taste very like...
Of all the creatures, they're cute.
I feel bad because I...
But there's a lot of them. The good news is there are a lot of them.
I think they're actually good for the garden, though, so, like,
yeah,
shouldn't eat them.
Yeah, oh well. But back to the transposing of the gentleman.
Oh, that was it.
The internal eye roll. So he was saying something ludicrous or ridiculous, and you just thought...
It's the end of a relationship, you know, when the things that someone says... You've learned someone's tropes, and you're just about to say goodbye.
Oh, okay, I didn't get that part.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so this was a relationship.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, now that little nugget, that little piece in what I was reading wasn't there.
And he says that thing that he always says, and you're like, oh, that's the last time that I will know exactly everything about you. Yeah, because the next thing that happens is they'll change, you'll change, and someone else will learn them. Sometimes it's better to just have it out and fight, because at least it's,
exactly.
You've said these things. I think the last year for me has been the first time that I really start confronting people, and it's awesome. Like the other day, me and my producer had a really real talk, you know, like about, usually we just, because we love each other so much, we usually just being like, you're the best and I'm the best and we're the best and everything is great, let's go skipping. The other day we sat, you know, like we really had a very real talk about something that we were trying to figure out, and afterwards I was like, did we just get
great,
deeper,
right?
Yeah, as friends.
Let's go skipping. This could be the name of your seventh album.
Let's go skipping.
I think, come on, think about it. Emmy the Great, Let's Go Skipping. Hey, rich kid. That song, Swimming Pool, what's fascinating is I was watching the video and I was listening to the song and I thought, boy, did you capture a moment there that anytime you stay in a hotel and you look out at the landscape and you look down at the people and you see the blue and you see the perfection and stuff. Now, I don't know if that was your intent, but that's what it meant to me.
That's so amazing. I don't want to tell too much about that.
I'm not asking you to define the song. I'm just saying that you really, what you did there, were you trying to capture a moment in Swimming Pool? It's pretty transparent in its lyrics.
Just like I spent a lot of my life observing people. I travel a lot, but I'm actually a little bit shy. So I've spent a lot of my life looking at people and thinking about their lives and wondering, what is that like? And definitely when I had some hilarious parties that I went to in LA where you're like just standing there like looking around me like, no one's talking to me. And so you're able to just be separate and kind of think, look at this beautiful picture of these beautiful lives all coming together and living in this way that the rest of us only see it in movies.
So the writing that you do, aside from songwriting, and you certainly have a great way to evaluate a Pitchfork review because, you know, you've been on the side of being a journalist. The mix of writing that you do, do you think that that's why when you write songs, they are as narrative as they are?
Actually, they're becoming there's less of a burden on the songs to tell all my thoughts now that I do way more writing. I mean, I've always written on the side, because I actually started out as an intern at a magazine before I was a musician. But this last year, life is getting harder for musicians, and there were times when I was not just writing for fun, you know, I'm writing to earn, like, some, this month I need some cash. So I've been writing like a maniac to deadlines and to what editors are asking me to do, not just my own whims. And it's helping me get disciplined, and it's helping me lose a lot of the stuff that I'd be trying to throw in a song. You know, I'd be working on a song for like days, weeks about millennials, but no, I already wrote that article. I can write a song about love now, you know?
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside is the bread, and then this is the last 40 minutes of the show, of the full hour. So anything else you want to play in between by other artists, and there are no rules,